So tonight in Isaiah 34, we again are reminded that God is going to be pouring out his judgment upon Israel. And here in chapter 34, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. The indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. And all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edomia and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness and with the blood of lambs and goats and with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah and a great slaughter in the land of Edomia. And the unicorns shall come down with them and the bullets with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood and their dust made fat with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion." So tonight we're going to talk about the sword of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we go to your word tonight, we pray that you will speak to us. Lord, as we think about this somber subject tonight, may it just remind us how blessed we are to be your children. And Lord, how important it is that we warn others that they can avoid the judgments that are coming. And so, Lord, I pray that you do a mighty work in our lives and guide us in your service tonight. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So you see that this passage is all about judgment. And this judgment obviously began with God dispersing Israel into the world. They don't have their land anymore, but it's not complete, as we read, until we get to the tribulation period and the return of Jesus and his ultimate judgment. You see words in verse 2 like indignation of the Lord, his fury upon all their armies. You read in verse 5, he talks about the end of the verse, it says, "My curse to judgment." So remember that it's not over. And as we're starting to study in our Revelation study, judgment is coming. And in time of intense judgment, when the sword of the Lord will be bathed in blood. And as we just got started on it in Revelation already, we've seen 1/4 of the world killed. It's just in the beginning of the tribulation period. And that word Edomia, by the way, that's just another word for Edom. And of course, we saw Zion mentioned. But the Bible tells us that judgment is coming from the Lord. Then will come the signs in the heavens and the return of Jesus Christ. If you go to Matthew 24, Jesus explained it like this and said that after the tribulation period, the heavens will give their signs and Jesus Christ will return. Matthew chapter 24, notice if you would, down in verse 29. Jesus says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." So Jesus is confirming that there will be signs in the heavens at his return. And then if you go to the book of Joel in chapter 2, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, so two books after Daniel, Joel chapter 2, beginning in verse 30, Joel also talks about these signs in heaven. Joel chapter 2, verse 30, "And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come." So the day of the Lord, of course, is a period of time. It's not an actual 24-hour day, but the culmination of that day, of course, is the return of Jesus Christ to the earth to execute judgment. Remember, when he returns, yes, there's going to be a wonderful kingdom. Praise God. But before the kingdom, There's going to be judgment. Jesus Christ Himself, with a two-edged sword, will execute judgment upon the earth when He returns. And that day is going to be a time of amazing judgment and wrath, God pouring out His wrath upon the earth. So prior to that, the judgment of the tribulation period culminates in the return of Jesus. And if you go to Jeremiah 30, God makes it clear that this time of judgment is part of a dispensation intended for the Jews, God's chosen people. Remember, at any given time, since Adam and Eve until the end of human history, God is always working with one of three groups: Jews, or the Gentiles, or the Church of God. It's always one of those three groups. Those groups are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 10:32. We know in the Old Testament, in the early dispensations, it was Gentiles. Then God called out a people for Himself, the Jews, through Abraham. And now we're in a dispensation called the grace of God. God's working with the church. God's going to take the church out and work with the Jews. And that will be in the tribulation. And God refers to here in Jeremiah 30, verse 7. He says, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it." Praise God. Not all the Jews will be killed during the tribulation, but many will. The time of whose trouble? Jacob's trouble. Just another proof that the church isn't going into the tribulation period. We're not part of Jacob. We're not Jews. We're the church. So we'll be taken out. And then if you go to Daniel chapter 12, we'll also see that this time is a time of terrible trouble. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, where Daniel, in one of his visions, explains, Daniel 12, 1, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that it shall be found written in the book." I like how God always puts that little glimmer of light and hope at the end of these judgment verses. That yes, it's going to be judgment. Yes, there's going to be trouble. But some will be delivered. Some will be get saved and have their names written in the book of life. But did you notice he's talking here about the Jews, the children of thy people, and he says it'll be worse than it ever was. Well, the Jews went through the Holocaust. The tribulation will be worse than that, the Bible says. It says worse than they've ever been through. Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 24. He says, "There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world." It will be worse than it's ever been, this time of judgment. So the sword of the Lord, if you go to 1 Chronicles chapter 21, this sword will execute judgment. It starts in the tribulation period. We already are seeing it with the seven seals. It culminates with the return of Jesus. Notice 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 12. This is when God gave David a choice. Now remember, David defied the Lord and numbered the people, even though he was told he shouldn't. And God said, "I'm going to punish you now for what you did." This is separate from the punishment over Bathsheba. He said, "I'm going to punish you for what you did." And he gave David a choice. Can you imagine having a choice? Okay, you're in trouble. So you get three choices on how you're going to be punished. And that's what God did. 1 Chronicles 21:12. "Either 3 years famine, or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord." So God compares 3 days of His sword with 3 years of famine, or 3 months of falling before your enemies, or 3 days of the sword of the Lord. Interesting, isn't it? And of course, David said, Lord, you choose. But we see that the sword of the Lord is a powerful thing. It's a thing of judgment. The Bible says in our passage, Isaiah 34:8, is the day of the Lord's vengeance. The day of the Lord's vengeance. Now, if we could, let's go to Revelation 19. I've mentioned it a couple times. So let's turn there and see this sword. Sure enough, executing judgment at the return of Jesus Christ. And of course, is it a literal sword? No. It's more powerful than that. Notice in Revelation 19, it's talking about Jesus returning, starting in verse 11. And the Bible says, verse 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus' word is more powerful than a literal sword. And is the word, is the sword. It comes out of his mouth, this two-edged sword. It is his word. Aren't we told in Hebrews 4:12 that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword? Aren't we told in Ephesians 6, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God? So what is the sword of the Lord? Is it a literal piece of metal? That God doesn't need metal to destroy. God just speaks. Genesis chapter 1, God spoke and created the universe. God spoke and made the earth. God spoke and made us. And God's word will execute judgment all through the tribulation, which will culminate in Jesus returning and executing judgment upon Israel. The Bible says that it will be a day of vengeance. Now, it's interesting. If you go to Isaiah 61, we won't turn to a whole bunch more passages, but just a couple. Isaiah 61, Jesus Christ is prophesied of in this passage. This is quite an interesting passage because here is where Jesus read when he stood up in the synagogue. And he only read part of it. Notice verse 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And right there is where Jesus stopped. So if you can write in your Bible, you can circle that comma. That's an important comma because Jesus stood up, he read to that comma, and he sat down. And then he said, today, this is fulfilled in your ears. He said, I am the fulfillment of this passage. And sure enough, Jesus came and he preached and he rescued people and he healed people. But did you notice why he stopped? Because the very next phrase says, and the day of vengeance. He didn't keep reading because the next part is at least 2,000 years later. Still hasn't come. This day of vengeance. Jesus is the Word. Jesus wrote the Word. Jesus stood up and said, this is me. And he stopped right there because that's where the fulfillment ended. The rest of it is yet to come. The day of vengeance of our God. So the sword of the Lord will destroy during the tribulation period. The sword of the Lord will come out of Christ's mouth and judge the nations. We read about that in Matthew 25. Many will be killed. We read about the blood going up to the horses' bridles. Just to give you an amount of blood, that's a lot of blood. The entire valley says it's filled with blood. So far, that's all kind of bad news. So let me just leave off with some good news. You and I don't have to go through it. Amen? That's some good news. Let's look at Romans chapter 5 just briefly. And just be reminded tonight that all of this wrath that we're reading about, this sword of the Lord, is going to be poured out, wrath and vengeance and anger and death. It doesn't apply to us if we're born again. It's about the Jews. It's about the nations of the earth at the end of the tribulation that have defied God, that have gone against the Jews. It's not about us. Notice Romans 5:9. Much more then, being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. We'll be saved from wrath. Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians, please. Chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. The Bible says here, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Hallelujah. Now we know the wrath to come isn't just talking about hell. Wrath is primarily talking about the tribulation period and the return and judgments of Jesus Christ, the sword of the Lord. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:9. One more here. All these verses are written to the church, the church epistles. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. I've said it before, you couldn't have chosen a better dispensation to be born in than the church dispensation. Imagine being born in the tribulation period. To, you know, unsaved parents. The whole world's worshiping the Antichrist. Everybody's against the Jews, of course. There'd be one government, one church, mark of the beast. You don't know any different. It's just going to be a terrible time. Curses and judgments and people dying all the time, cursing God. Imagine being born in that time as opposed to being born in this time when we get delivered from all of that. Praise the Lord. Because even if you get saved in the tribulation period, unless you get martyred, you still have to go through all of that. All of that wrath, those 7 years of horribleness on the earth. The only way to get rescued from it is basically to take a stand, get your head cut off, get sent to heaven. So, praise God, we don't have to face the sword of the Lord. But Israel does, sadly. And all the unsaved will, that survive that initial transition into the tribulation period. So what do we need to do? Warn them. The sword of the Lord is coming. Judgment is coming. Jesus isn't coming back as a babe in a manger. He's coming back to conquer and to judge. And He will bring His sword with Him, and many will die. So we have the answer. Amen? We have the solution, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let's tell as many as we can, and they can avoid this sword of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord,